Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to our celebration. I'm Jim Simmons and tonight is our 200th episode. We are so thankful that you're joining us and hope you enjoy this special broadcast. Make no mistake about it, our goal tonight is not just to reminisce. Our goal is to give thanks to God. And now, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Very good, and I want to thank you, Jim, for giving that gracious introduction, especially for welcoming our listeners. It's exciting just realizing to be a part of this, praising God for this special opportunity, really, quite literally, to God be the glory. I think this was an interesting time for us, hard to believe, 200 episodes ago, doing first a test broadcast, followed by the first broadcast, and if you heard that one, you might have mistaken it for the test broadcast, but hopefully we've gotten a little bit more polished over the time. But it's been an exciting thing, a wonderful opportunity, and I trust that God will bless us with more such opportunities as time goes by. However long he delays, I want to know that we will be serving him, that we will be seeing people saved, that the body of Christ will be strengthened and refreshed. So this is a very special opportunity just to spend some time and celebrating and giving thanks to God and sort of looking over our shoulder a little bit just as a way of reminding ourselves of how gracious God has been, to giving him the glory for it. Just as we talk of these things, I hope everyone will understand it's not bragging on us. It is celebrating what God has been able to do through two people who, in our own shortcomings and failings, just want to give ourselves to God to be used to his glory. And I trust that each of you who are part of the program, by listening, by sharing, by telling others about it, will feel that same way, to realize that you have been given a gracious opportunity just to draw closer to God, to worship him, to look for opportunities to witness. Let that always be our goal as we come together, not to build ourselves up, but to honor God in each and everything we do, and to see others come to know him as Savior and Lord. So, Jim, I wonder if you'd be so kind as to open us in prayer as we begin this 200th anniversary broadcast.
My pleasure. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to you. We want to express our love and our adoration to you for uniquely creating us, for saving us, and as you promised, providing for us. Lord, you told us in the book of Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh God, our land needs healing. What a promise. Help us, Lord, and increase our faith and our wisdom. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons clear direction and the exact words you'd have him deliver to a lost and dying world. It's in the name that's above all names, our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior, and your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just before we begin, let me remind you that if you would like to ask a question, you can email your question to ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. And I pulled that up just recently, Pastor. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous website. So I would encourage our listeners to take advantage of all the resources there. Also, if you're listening from the archives, you can call and leave your question for us by dialing 1-866-275-4472 and choosing option 1. I don't think I need to repeat that, Pastor, because if they're in the archives, they'll be able to slowly do this. So now let's begin our celebration, Pastor.
Well, that is wonderful and so very true. You know, just a reminder for folks, if you are looking at BTR and seeing the program, you can just scroll on down and you'll see we do print the number out below the screen. And we also give you, once again, the link for emailing us. Have you have comments, questions you'd like to share, or to follow us on Twitter, you can do that as well. And I guess one thing that might be a good thing to do at our 200th episode is just simply to go back to the initial statements. Jim, why don't you give us your thoughts on this? How did this all begin?
Well, as I recall, you and I are active in our church, in our answering the prayer line when we're on TV. Mm-hmm. And one day I recall, either before we got started or at one of the breaks, we were talking about another radio program that we said, wouldn't it be nice if we had something like that? I think it would be so much fun and interesting and helpful. And we were cutting up about it. And the next thing I know, just seems like just a few weeks later, you called me and said, have you ever heard of, and you started describing the format of internet radio.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know it existed. And then here we are, 200 programs. What's interesting is, even when there was vacation involved, mm-hmm. there would be a program done remotely. So it's really evolved, don't you think?
Very much so. And it's sort of exciting for those who thought we didn't have a remote of a chance. We've proved them wrong. We did have a remote even on vacation. So that we turned vacations into remote opportunities. And interestingly enough, I think the very first one of those we did was for Thanksgiving time that we did out of Lafayette, Louisiana. So it's interesting, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's easy to do that. People can look for reasons not to do something, or they can look and say, well, God, how can we use it? And so that's what we've strived to do as we've gone through this process. You know, we met for lunch, as you said, just a few weeks after that, and talked about this opportunity and looked for ways to make it happen. And not that long after
Pastor,
that, this did happen. Go ahead.
Pastor, you got to go back and tell them that remote from Lafayette, that wasn't a labor of love. That had to do with the cuisine in Louisiana, did it not?
Well, I have a firm philosophy. You know, some people, you know, there's an old song about, you know, dance across Texas. I eat my way across Louisiana. You know,
yes.
What can I say?
I understand.
Seriously,
I
good
understand.
Food. Yeah, I've never made a Cajun
yes,
food
is.
I didn't like, so it's works out well.
That's right.
Yeah. But
I do know how to cook.
You know, one of our goals, I think, as we've tried to do this, has always been, right from the beginning, just to be faithful. And, you know, it's not our opinion. It's what God's Word has to say. That's what we wanted to know. And we have been blessed to mm-hmm. do some interviews over the years. And our goals in doing that have been to allow people to, you know, I think sometimes we fall into the trap in this world because we are constantly hit as though, well, there's, you know, people who believe religion, and then there's real professional people. And so one of the things we've tried to do is to interview some of those folks from time to time that, you know, they are professional. They are quite talented. And just to remind people that, by the way, they're also very strong Christians in their faith, and they, you know, choose to take their talents and honor God with them. So when you hear us interview somebody, understand that the purpose in that is to allow you to experience and hear people that maybe you've fallen into that same trap of listening to the world and thinking that, oh, Christians, you know, we're like second-class citizens. No, quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
God uses us to His glory. We attempt to yield our will to His will. And to me, that is one of the most precious aspects of that. So if you've ever wondered, you know, why do we have the people we have, it's because we're looking for those people whose lives back up what they're doing, that have a strong testimony.
Yes.
And whether they're working in a Christian element or whether in a secular world, it's their testimony that outshines us. And so that's important to understand. So, Jim, what do you like best about doing the broadcast?
Well, I first want to clear the air about something, Pastor, because I admire you. You are a good friend. But I want to get over this. It bothered me a great deal, something you said. I'll never forget it.
Huh.
You said when we were talking about starting this program, uh-huh. this radio program, you said, and I think you'll be great at it because you have a face for radio. Oh, that's not fair, but I thought, well, he's a pastor, he's got to be honest, and so that was an interesting take, and I haven't ever forgotten it, so I haven't asked you to take us to television yet.
That's,
so,
there's probably a reason for
maybe
that,
maybe as
yes.
I get older. well, you know, it was so interesting. You know, we're given the Great Commission as Christians. We're not supposed to, as one of our pastors say, sit in the pews and soak it all in. We're to put it to use in our daily lives, and we're to make a difference. The salt, the light, all the scripture that talks about the Great Commission. Go to the uttermost parts of the world and spread the gospel. The word gospel meaning good news. And by the way, has there ever been better news? That there is life after death, and that our souls never die. And I just thought, you know, how do you do that? I am not skilled at this. I have no formal education in this. You're a pastor. You're a doctor of theology. You've got that training. But I thought, how's this going to work for me? And wouldn't you know, God has made a way through this internet radio program. So I just think it's been a wonderful blessing, not only for those who listen, but for you and I to grow in our belief and desire to follow that Great Commission.
Absolutely. For myself, I think it, you know, certainly I enjoy talking with people when we have been able, as we mentioned before, to travel somewhere and interview some folks and get their testimonies on air. But I think one of the things that I've also been fascinated about the program, which I never expected, one of the things that we had placed on the website towards the bottom right of the screen is a little piece of software that gives a rotating globe of the Earth. And when you go mm-hmm. there, what you will see is lights lit up across the globe. Each one of those lights indicates somebody who has listened to the broadcast at some point. And so that's rather exciting for us to realize that that happens and to see that expansion. And Jim, I noticed that we have been blessed to have someone come in with us already tonight, so that's great. Why don't we go ahead and
Good.
See what they're up to? Well, obviously,
Certainly.
What they're up to is leaving, so that was a short visit, okay? All right, we give them an opportunity. Apparently, we've scared them away. So next time, we'll remember that. Don't scare people away. Yes. Anyway.
Well, you know, Pastor, I am on the website now, mm-hmm. and it's interesting because some of the interviews, for example, Dave Cristiano is on there, and you get to listen to that. And to have a movie director, writer and director, has just been one of the highlights in these 200 programs. That's one of the highlights. Both brothers, we've had the opportunity over the last couple of years to interview the twin brothers, the Cristianos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to speak on that for just a moment, because it's interesting how you approached them and how willing they were to participate. So would you speak on that a moment?
Absolutely. They both have been a great blessing in our lives and to the body of Christ, the work that they've done. Dave, as you may recall, one of his elements that he's worked on has been a program called 7th Street Theater. And that's been quite exciting mm-hmm. because all of the people who have ever complained about, well, you never have just regular television programming that is Christian-based. Everything is always very secular. It's interesting that that is precisely what he put together, is a half-hour program where Christ is lifted up, and the characters in the program do look for God in their lives, and they do face the struggles that we face, and it's a very relatable program as a result of that. Ironically, I don't think that it ever got the support from Christian programming that it should have. So it's amazing, for all the complaints people have made over the years, that the Christian broadcasters didn't jump on the bandwagon with more enthusiasm. But it was an excellent program, an excellent series. I believe it went for 4 seasons. And, of course, right now he's in the process of bringing to the screen a movie that's coming out in just another couple of, goodness, hard to believe, just a couple of months. And so we're looking forward to that. I believe it'll be airing in August. So certainly encourage people to go to our website, get more information about that, find out how you can be involved in actually bringing it to your city or helping to promote it or just being able to not miss the blessing of being a part of that. Very relatable people. To give you an example, I recall years ago on a Saturday afternoon, I was working in the office, wanted to get one of the resources they have and called there and had wanted for a long time to find, you know, I'd really like to talk to them, but how would you ever manage to, you know, reach somebody out there in that industry? And I called on a Saturday just to order a resource, and the man who answered the phone says, "Hi, this is Dave." And I thought for a moment, no, it couldn't be. Is this Dave Christiana? Well, yes. You know, it's like, okay. So it turns out he just happened to be going through the office. Other people were busy. He grabbed up the phone. And, you know, you have to admire somebody who, you know, who is in that industry, who takes the time to still pick up a phone and talk with people. And so, you know, that's the nature of these folks. They have a heart for God. They're not filled with pride or arrogance. What God has filled them with is an amazing talent, and they're more than happy to use it to the glory of God. Another gentleman we have interviewed in the movie industry is David A.R. White, who's also had a movie come out recently. And these are people we, as believers, should get behind and support. You know, it's one thing to complain about the films that come out into the industry, but when God's people are making quality movies with state-of-the-art technology and really delivering a message of power, interestingly enough, one of the things I found out from David A.R. White was in one of his films, one of the men who was in the movie later came to know Christ. In fact, he was not saved at the time he was making the film, but later came to know Christ as Lord and Savior because here he is hearing these words spoken, hearing the Word of God in the course of the movie, and it worked on his heart as time went by. And so now he is now taking copies of the movie, gathering people together, showing them, and at the when he's finished showing the film, he then begins sharing his testimony and having a chance to lead others to Christ. So it's quite amazing. You know, we never think, those sound like movies, you know. They sound like a story, and what you don't realize, no, that is what our God is more than capable of doing and is doing in lives of people who are simply willing to yield their lives to him. And if you're a listener, understand you can do that. You don't have to be settled with a blah life. You can take your life and say, you know, life with Christ is exciting. It's not always easy. Believe me, I'm not going to lie to you. You've got your fair share of challenges, if not more so, because basically you just told the enemy, I've decided whose side I'm on and I'm going to stand for Christ. Well, that puts you in the line of fire sometime. That's okay. Standing with God is strength. Standing with God is powerful, and it's worth it. So it's amazing. You know, we talked about what's good about doing the programs. We've actually, you know, we've been talking about our favorite memories, I think, without even realizing it. But, you know, we started the year with Acts, the Bible study. You know, this current year that we're in of this batch of programming. Jim, anything special, anything you've already picked up from Acts that you care to share?
I do, and I think it's so important. Acts of the Apostles, you know, it's. I remember in Royal Ambassadors when I was growing up, we learned Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and Epistles of the Romans, first and second, and that's as far as I can remember. So one of my challenges this year has been to memorize the entire New Testament in order of, you know, the Bible. So, but I just remember Acts seemed to be unusual from the other books. And so one of the things that I think you drove home when we took it line by line, verse by verse, dissected it, talked about it, and one of the things you've taught us is to imagine you're there and what the culture was like. You tell us, you know, us. Here's what the culture was like, and it starts to make sense. It comes to life. Here's what I'd learned. If you ask me, what did you learn? What is the your favorite thing from Acts? I would say you cannot live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. I think that would be my encapsulation of what it means and what the significance. He said, stay here until you be endued with the Holy Spirit. And I think that is the significance of the book. It talks about sounds like a rushing wind and tongue, and you know, it had just such beautiful explanation. And people, I think, Pastor, get very confused, particularly when you start talking about, well, do they talk in tongues? And that seems to divide a lot of people in how they learn about Christianity. And so I think the Book of Acts and that series that we did on the Book of Acts really gave us, put the meat on the bones and helped us understand, because we were there. It's amazing what God did. And if you just rush through it, you miss it because you don't know what the climate was like. You don't know what was going on and what the significance of all of the parts to that book. So I just remember that it was a great relief to hear that I cannot live the Christian life. I can't do it. I'm not built for it. But when that Holy Spirit came in and called my attention, he's that voice, and he says, all right, Simmons, you didn't handle that right. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You should have been kind. And I find myself, Pastor, being more and more conscious of it. Now, I'm still sometimes late to the dance, and I have to come back. But I can tell you that I think the growth that I've enjoyed working with you, the growth is measured in how long it takes for the Holy Spirit to convict me. It used to be several weeks or months, and I think back on it, maybe I was too harsh. But now it's almost as if he just grabs me by the shoulders and he shakes me and he says, Jim, you know better than that. And he makes me remorseful. And he makes me want to do something about it and try to make amends. So I think the Book of Acts was a great turning point in my life. Thank you.
Well, you startled me when you first started off and mentioned that you had been in Royal Ambassadors. After all this time, I didn't realize you had been in that too. That's one of my early days as a child, was being in Royal Ambassadors. So that's
well, I made one of the most beautiful things out of ice cream sticks and put them together. You should have seen the talent at a young age.
Well, we could have worked together. I could have, you know, gotten the sticks all cleaned off of the ice cream and, you know, passed them to you or something like that.
Right. We could have been a team.
Right. For those of you who are listening and saying, what's a Royal Ambassador? If you grew up in Southern Baptist churches, that was a program for young men that was to help them learn scripture memorization and be focused on serving God. And seems like there was an awful lot of camping and other activities thrown in there, but that was what the goal was. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I think it's done well. And so every now and then I'll still find churches who are active in using that program, and it's very effective. So, yeah, so those brought back nice memories.
Well, you remember the flag? Mm-hmm. You remember the Christian flag and the Texas flag and the American flag? We always had that in Royal Ambassadors, and we had photography, and it was a great supplement to Boy Scouts. And
that's true.
So back then we had something to do in you know, around the church. And so today I think one of the critical deficiencies we have in this city is there's a lot of, what do they call them, latchkey kids that sit home and they get into trouble because there's nothing to do. And so Satan kind of takes over, and you see gangs and people just struggling to find themselves and try to get affirmation of who they are. And so Royal Ambassadors was a great, I just thank my parents for being such great loving parents and giving us something to do in the afternoons that kept us busy and kept us enriched and physically active and mental and emotionally active. So yeah, Royal Ambassadors brings back some great memories, Pastor.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, I was thinking as you were talking about that there, it says, you know, it's amazing when I see young people that are, you know, glued to technology. And, you know, I have to admit, mm-hmm. I love technology myself. There's no question or doubt about that. But, you know, to me, technology is a way of researching and finding out more about God and communicating. And it's interesting to me, a lot of times it seems like people get into technology to escape. And if you're escaping mm-hmm. into the cyber world, you are missing out dramatically. You know, use the technology to glorify God. Use the technology to draw closer together. You know, so many of the things that we were blessed with growing up, you know, I suppose by today's standards, people would say, well, you didn't have a lot. And yet, we could communicate. We could talk to each other. We had things that just, you know, incredible imagination. And it's incredible imagination that gives you opportunities to build, to create, to do things. And in all that process, mm-hmm. you know, there were little things we learned, like respecting our country, respecting our elders, having a deep respect for our parents, and even each mm-hmm. other. And so with all of our problems, with all of our shortcomings, it's amazing. You know, if technology allows you to draw away from your family and into a cyber world, it's not doing its job. It was created as a powerful tool. It should remain a powerful tool, but we should use that tool to draw people together, to communicate. It always touches my heart good when I find, you know, for example, it might be a soldier who's deployed somewhere, and yet through the internet, they're able to connect to their family and still have screen time with a child who's growing right. or their spouse or something like that. It's, you know, a child off at school. You know, they can use the technology for research and study as they develop their mind for their vocation, and yet they can also get anything from Christian programming and broadcasts to Bible study to, again, sometimes FaceTime, you know, with family back home. It sure makes it easier. I remember being off at college and, you know, having to ration out, you know, a couple of minutes of long-distance phone calls and just to hear voices from home.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that now people are able to just, you know, do a video chat over their cell phone. It's an amazing thing. And so, you know, let technology be your tool, something that you can utilize. Don't let it be swamping you, because at that moment, you're not really gaining the benefit. It's taking you down rather than lifting you up. You know, we try to deal with questions. We try to find the answers. Again, always based in Scripture, not just opinion. But, Jim, you know,
right.
that's another thing we've focused on. As you look back on it, in the aspect of Q&A, what's maybe either a good memory about a best question or just the process itself? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Pastor, I have an advantage because you allow me to ask questions that are in addition to the other questions we get.
Uh-huh.
But here's, I think, what we've learned over the years, and I keep reemphasizing this because this, I think, is the how we delineate ourselves from the other programs. You keep bringing us back to Scripture. When you ask a question or I ask a question, someone calls in with a question, I hear it and I think, oh, here's my answer. You know, here's what I think. You don't do that. You say, okay, well, let's go to the book of Exodus and you can see how Moses, and you point out not what you think, mm-hmm. but what you know, because you're reading it right out of God's Word. So we know it's absolute. We know it's true. And interesting, another thing you've taught us over these years is that you cannot say it better than the way God lays it out in the Bible. So it's a wonderful learning tool. You've taught us how to learn and to teach ourselves. But when I think of the Q&A, mm-hmm. I think it's good when we have a caller or we have someone listening from the archives or write us an email and say, what about this? How do you deal with this? And it's interesting. I didn't want to ask that question. I was scared or I was ashamed. And there's somebody else that can be honest and ask that question. So I think we get questions that others are thinking about and wish they had the strength to ask, and it's just the candidness
mm-hmm.
and the answer seems to always be available. It's in the Bible. And so I think it's a great format We hear questions that, that's something I want to know. I didn't think to ask that. So I think it's helpful for everyone.
Well, I thank you. I want to add something to that, but we're going to just take a very short break and let you know about a new resource that's available.
Oh.
Do you believe in spirit beings? Do you think that that kind of thing is just for non-believers? Then what about angels? In Dr. Lyon's series, Angels, Real and Supernatural, you will find out about the role that angels play in our lives, how they are manifest, and about the Angels Organization. We believe you will find this a fascinating study on a subject that is rarely taught or discussed. This series is a starting point to understand the supernatural beings that are at work in the heavens and here on earth. Order your set at askthepastornow.com. That's askthepastornow.com. Order your set today.
And, you know, getting back to the Q&As for just a moment, I don't think people realize that, you know, pastors do Q&A as well. I mean, yes, you know that they work on the answer part, but what you might not realize is that when pastors get together, that's precisely what they do, is they work on the questions as well. Somehow I think pastors are a little embarrassed to ask questions too, because we're tempted to think, oh, but I'm supposed to be the pastor, I should know all this. You would wonder. It would amaze you that one of the things pastors love doing together amongst other pastors is questioning, raising, discussing. Because in doing that, I think a lot of times they have an insight to what it might be. But what's really interesting is to find how other pastors have scriptures that come to mind that it clarifies, that explains. And so that's one of the blessings of it, that even amongst pastors, they can find blessings in a Q&A time. Because of the fact that you may have that verse that really answers it well for you, and then you'll have somebody across the room that suddenly says, well, the one that's always helped me with that was, them bringing up a verse that maybe you had never even thought of in that context, and yet it makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of strength. So Q&A, Q&As, I think, for Christians are very important because of the fact that it helps us to better understand not only our faith, but to be more confident in knowing it. I think we start off with an important assumption, and that is that God's Word will be the authority. That will be the answer. And once we do that, we're on more solid footing. It's when we try to think, well, what would the world, what would be the best philosophy? How would this, you know, not offend anybody? Well, sometimes truth offends. You know, we don't go out of the way to offend. But, you know, if we're living in the world, if we're running in our own strength, it's very possible that we could be missing the message of God. So we have to be careful about that, you know. There's
Pastor?
Yes.
I just thought of a question. I thought of a question. Can you believe that? That's see, there's progress.
How about that?
Here's a question. Here's a question. You and I both do daily Bible study. And why is it, Pastor, why is it that no matter where you are in your life, no matter how much you're going through, how much heartache there might be, how much anxiety, fear, all the things that we deal with, all of us, every day, why is it when you go to the Bible, you can almost count on it every time you can start reading and it ministers to you right where you are, what's going on in your life? How is that possible?
Oh, actually, it's an amazing thing that you've just described. Remember a couple of things about the Word of God. First of all, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, referring to Jesus Christ. So I think, consequently, when we're handling the Word of God, we need to remember that it is, in fact, we're handling Christ. And so to understand that, to realize, as a result of that, we're talking about a living book. We're talking about something that is passionate, exciting. That's why you can go back to a passage that you know you've seen 100 times before, and suddenly you find some fresh insight to it. Or maybe you go to a chapter that you know you've read many times, and suddenly, I just don't remember that verse. Where did that come from? Boy, that hits the moment right now, what I'm dealing with. And I think that's part of it. It's like no other book that you will find. God is no other writer than you will ever find. He brought those holy men of old, as they're referred to in Scripture, moved by the Holy Spirit. They penned these words down. It's amazing when you think about the very Word of God, because we get the benefit of these individuals' personalities, their unique style. Part of studying the Bible is you begin to learn, you recognize the style of Paul's writing. And so when you're reading one of his letters, you can see Paul in the passage, just as you can read something from John and recognize John's influence. Or you read and you want to know more intimacy about the birth of Christ, so you go to the book of Luke, written by Dr. Luke. Certainly he has more insight to what Mary was dealing with and shows more perhaps understanding or clarity in those areas. And when he's talking about the crucifixion, again, a different kind of depth. Having said all that, it's God in the pages. It is God in his word. Make no mistake, it's not man's mistaken writings and filled with errors. God overshadowed these people to such an extent that there is writing there without error in its entirety. Let me be very clear on that. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, does not contain simply the Word of God. That is an important distinction that people get off base with. You'll hear people who say that, you know, they hold up the Bible and said, this has the Word of God in it, no question about it. And you've just heard a powerful error. It doesn't just have it in it. It is the Word of God. To say that it has it in there implies that there may be other stuff in there too. And no, I do believe the Bible is 100% without error the Word of God. And that's important to understand. You start off with that foundation, and you start off with a position to grow, to become closer to God, to be closer to Christ, to allow the Spirit of God to indwell you and grow in your faith. You leave God out of the equation by allowing error in, and you have a serious problem. It's amazing. We don't question God when we're hungering and thirsting and fearful of you know, what's going to happen with me eternally, and you want to get saved. After that, it's like all the little enemies whispering in your ear said, oh, well, that's true, but you don't believe this part. No, either you believe the Word of God or you don't. You know, make that clear. We believe it, we trust it, we rely on God's Word. And I even try to avoid using that term like I just did, it, because it's more than that. It is God's Word. So, you know, elevate it to that level and realize that is the correct application. And that is why it's fresh when you go in there. And that's why when you're looking for that answer, it seems more powerful than you would have imagined. Like I say, those verses that we find, that even though we've read it time and time again, we get there and say, don't remember that one, but I sure needed that one. It's an amazing thing. You know, Daniel, one of my favorite books as well. One of the things I admire about Daniel, most people never realize the fact that throughout the entire book, Daniel is basically a prisoner. And yet he is used to touch lives. He's used to help really bless and protect the other Hebrews who were prisoners at the time. He's even involved as people come to power in the government that is dominating his nation and keeping him in subjection. I find that interesting because of the fact that today sometimes you'll find believers who, you know, they act as though they have no right to be involved in our government, no right to be involved in expressing a political opinion. Certainly a lot of the world doesn't want you expressing a political opinion. But I submit to you that if God is wisdom, and if any man lack wisdom, he can ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not. In other words, he doesn't ridicule you, he just helps you. So in other words, you have access to God's wisdom. So by that standard, would I not want a Christian in a position of leadership all the more? You know, rather than just a secular leader, but one who can trust and follow what God has to say in making that decision. I bring that up because of the fact that, you know, as we were going through studying the book of Daniel, we do ourselves an injustice if we don't relate it, and as with every scripture, to what we're dealing with day by day. In this particular time of this broadcast, we are in the midst of election time. We have the presidential election coming forward in November. We have a runoff election in our area right now. We need to seek God in every decision we make. And we need, you know, usually when pastors talk about stewardship, the only thing the congregation hears is money. Let me tell you something. There's another element to stewardship we overlook, and that is the vote. So this may not seem like something for the 200th anniversary, but, you know, don't think I won't spend more than 200 times reminding people, exercise your vote as a believer. Seek God's wisdom. Realize that, you know, much of what is going on in our nation, we have to take a degree of responsibility for, because too often we have been silent. And that is not right. We need to honor God in our words, honor God with our faith, honor God as we witness, and also honor God when we walk into the polling booth. It's very important to understand that fact. Those things walk hand in hand. I said earlier that tonight was a night of Thanksgiving, a time to celebrate. Jim, do you happen to have 1 Chronicles 16:8 handy?
Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people.
Yeah, I like that verse. Don't you think that's sort of what we try to do as we have these programs? Yes, we want to hear questions, answer questions, study the Bible, talk with others, but in doing that, it's almost impossible to do it without giving thanks to the Lord. We open in prayer. We do call upon his name. But when we answer questions, when we talk with others, when we share what God's word has to say, aren't we making known what God has done among the people? You know, that's what that says to me, Jim.
Yes.
How about you? What touches you with that verse?
Well, two sides to this. Not only are we in a format that takes questions and answers, we go line by line, we read it verse by verse, and yes, people who are hearing this program either live or from the archives, they're getting something that perhaps they can't get anywhere else. They're getting the Lord. But we are too. We are just immensely blessed, and it's amazing. I mean, when you start to talk about, let's just take a book like Gone with the Wind. You read Gone with the Wind, and you pretty well got it, right? You kind of know how it ends. We kind of see what is a long book, long movie, and a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a picture of our country at a time in history. What is it like to imagine that to give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people? That last part, his deeds among the people. From, you know, I happen to be in personal study right now in the book of Exodus. And here we're going to see God pull his people out of, 400 years of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And how he prepares them, how he protects them. The angel of death passes over. That's where we get the term Passover. God's protected his people. Then he gets them out in the desert, and he does what? He provides for them, and then he protects them, and he parts the sea, and so when we think about the deeds, it is so limitless and so bottomless. There's so much to know, and you get excited about it, and those in your family, your friends, your acquaintances that you're trying to witness to, it's sometimes you want to say, come on, come look what I'm seeing. Look what we're learning. And you see sometimes so much ambivalence and so much skepticism, or, oh, that's you church folks. And you just want to say, you have no idea what you're missing. So it's exciting. And if people will take, here's the interesting thing, I think, Pastor. You start to read the Bible. You start to get into the Word. And then the Word gets into you. And that bond, that insatiable desire to know more now, to me, that's a God's gift. He's designed it where once I get into it, I don't ever want to let it go. And that's why, as you know, I start over and read it again and start over and read it again. And for the rest of my life, I feel that he is teaching me. He's changing me. He's admonishing me. He's loving me every day when I have personal Bible study. So he is making his deeds known to his people. We just have to get more people to just step out a little bit, and then they will enjoy what you and I have learned and know about an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's so very true. You know, another passage from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And that is such a powerful verse. People have a tendency to read it, keep on going, but especially that last little part there, for his mercy endureth forever. He is so gracious. He is so loving. Our very salvation hinges on that fact, that is mercy. You know, we do have a reason to give him thanks. We do have a reason to celebrate with him. And, you know, one of the reasons I mention that verse is because of the fact that I think it's too easy for us to again, feel like, well, professional Christians, you know, might do that. Preachers, teachers, things of that nature. And no, what we have to realize is we are in this together, serving the body of Christ, reaching the lost, carrying a message. You know, if you think about, okay, you know, even pastoring, moving past that for a moment, you know, taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, now you're talking about missions and missionary work and things like that. And you have to be a trained missionary. You have to learn the languages, and you have to study and know all that international stuff before you can be sent out by some board or something of that nature. You know, that story would sound real good if it wasn't for people like Scott Bresk and many other men and women of faith who stepped forward to the challenge. Scott was somebody we had a chance to bring on as a guest and interview in the past year. And one of the things I like about Scott actually is an attorney, works in the prosecutor's office. And yet Scott gave of his time, I mean, an unusual way to spend your vacation, at his own expense, went as part of a group from our church and did mission work in Colombia. Was gone for a week or two and going door to door and holding meetings at night and caring for people and visiting with folks. And just an amazing individual. But you realize that's what God puts on hearts and what God can provide opportunities. You know, that's something Scott stepped up to do and others have stepped up to do. I think that's one of the things I appreciated the most about that broadcast in particular. It was just realizing a man who, in the stereotype, you know, you wouldn't have thought a lawyer or prosecutor, would he be doing that? Yes. Sharing the gospel with people who are hurting. That's what he does in his life as a believer. He prays with people. He encourages people. And he was willing to, at his own expense, to go overseas and spread the gospel and to be faithful in that. We've had a chance to know several people who do that kind of work. Jim, how about you? What's your feeling about the work that Scott was willing to do at his own expense?
Well, he made me feel very not ashamed. It's shy of being ashamed. I have never been uncomfortable in witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
The uncomfortable comfortable part of my witnessing is trying to select the right words so that I don't alienate and I can just get a little grip on what I'm trying to explain or try to give folks to consider. But when I think of Scott and the story he told us when we were talking with him on the air, he was talking about the conditions and how these people were so hungry and eager to hear the word. And my memory, it was, you know, I think electricity was a luxury, just to have electricity. And
right.
I remember him saying how hot it was. You know, there's got to be mosquitoes, and these are little villages, and the sanitation and the food and this and that and the other had to be a great challenge. So if you told me to sum it up, Simmons, what do you think about that interview? I'd say he taught me that I've always been comfortable. Others have stepped out and risked their lives, have risked their welfare and all for a great cause. I've never had that tested. So I admire Scott. I admire the way he took some time off and got uncomfortable to do the Lord's work. So if he's listening, Scott, thank you. You taught us a lot.
And, you know, I mentioned that, too, because of the fact that, yes, I value his testimony and the work he's done. I value the fact that he's made more than one trip. So, obviously, even with the discomfort, he found a greater comfort in serving God. But I mention that because, yes, I value missionaries. Yes, I value those who are serving in some of the most isolated places in the world. Even some of our pastors serve in very isolated areas sometimes, and you know, their only fellowship is those that they win to Christ. And sometimes their families don't understand, why do you do this? But I think it is worth our remembering such people and realizing and asking the question, God, what would you have me to do? You know, it's not just the other person. It's not just the one on the platform. It's not just the person two aisles up that you're thinking, you know, when the invitation comes, they should go forward and surrender. No, maybe we just ought to ask ourselves that question during our time of prayer when we're reading the Bible. God, what would you have me to do? You know, it may be radio. It may be television. It may be talking to that person that's not that comfortable for you to talk to that you know, maybe where you work or somebody where you live. But the reality is, whether that's traveling to another country or traveling down the street or even into the other room, we need to have a heart that is open to what God would lead us to do. And the best way we can be led is if we're listening. And so, by all means, if it's not part of your regular activity, get into the Word of God on a daily basis. Read for yourself what God says. And I think you will be amazed at how much strength you find in that, how much wisdom you gain from that. Sometimes people who feel like, I just don't know what God wants me to do, haven't bothered to read the Word of God for themselves and find out. You know, his truth is solid, it's dependable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Meaning, we can count on him. He is faithful. You know, that's one of the things I love about Thanksgiving time, is being able to give thanks for God's faithfulness, his consistency. You know, Jim, I'm thankful to live in the age in which we live. I know a lot of people have said, oh, I wish I lived in a different time. I don't like the stuff that's going on. I wish I could go back 100 years, just not to have to deal with some of the stuff we have to do. Well, think about that for a moment. Okay, 100 years ago, no indoor plumbing. Okay, I'm back in the time machine right now. Take me home. You know, I like this little luxuries like that, you know, and food that doesn't...
Me too.
Food
me
that,
too.
You know, we know is safe to eat, and, you know, places that you can go, and it's amazing.
Bluebell.
Bluebell, thank you.
Bluebell ice cream.
That's it. You know, things we take for
just
granted.
Tell them the truth. Bluebell, yes.
Yes. Things we take for granted. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Now, are there things we need to work on in this country? Absolutely. The best place to begin working on them is on our knees before God, getting into the Word of God, sharing our faith, not being quiet about the peace that passes all understanding. Isn't that amazing? Something that gives you peace. I get the impression sometimes that whatever it is people have is not Christianity, because it seems to be more painful for them. They're definitely grimacing if you look at their expressions on their faces, and why would you want that? You know, I'm looking for the person that has a smile on their heart. And I'm not saying we don't have challenges. I'm not saying that I expect you to lose a loved one and have a silly grin on your face. That's ridiculous. There is a time and a season to cry and a time and a season to celebrate. And, you know, we celebrate tonight because it is a milestone. And I trust that there'll be other milestones before us. But I'm saying there are times, like every day, something's going on that we can stop and give thanks for. And I think that's so important to realize. You know, one of the things we did at Christmas time is we interviewed some folks that we know that pray with people, who intercede with people, who put that as a high priority in their lives, just caring about others. And it was interesting to hear their testimonies about what their Christmas memories were and how special they were. Didn't always seem to have a lot, but they always seemed to have this connection to wanting to honor God, to be closer to Him. I think that's so important. If you really begin to build a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will have something special that you even now you can't fully appreciate. Even as a believer, as the years go by, He really does become sweeter, more powerful, more stronger. That is something you can have. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. Jim, why don't you take a moment, walk that through our folks so that they will know how beyond a shadow of a doubt they can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Pastor. I think before we begin, I wanted to read the scripture that tells us exactly, it's not my opinion, it's not Pastor Lyon's opinion, is that you have to reach the spot where you realize you're not going in the right direction, your life is falling apart. I reached that. A lot of people, it takes catastrophe sometimes to turn us, but it's time to repent. We see that word a lot. Repent is a military term, as I recall. It means to go a different direction, 180 degrees. When you're ready to step out in faith, God honors that faith, and here's the scripture. It's chapter 10 of Romans. It's on our website. Chapter 10, verse 9 tells us, how can I get saved? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to repent, you want to say, God, I am sorry, Jesus, forgive me. And he forgives you instantly, and he does something you and I are incapable of doing. He remembers it no more. He says he puts it as far from him as the east is from the west. So confession, repentance, and accepting Jesus Christ, go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And Pastor, it's interesting. I was just going through some of the movie channels trying to figure something worthwhile. And there's a book, a movie that has to do with, I think the name of it is Risen. Mm-hmm. It's talking about when Jesus rose from the grave, from the tomb. And it's from the perspective of a non-believer. So I have not seen the movie, but I thought it was pretty interesting that as you and I, when we talked to Dave Cristiano, how we're seeing a change in Hollywood. They're starting to recognize there is an appetite out there. There are people that would like to have Christian movies and Christian programming. Could you speak a moment of that?
Yes, I think that's a very important thing, and part of it falls back on us. I don't mean by that we have done that. What I mean is we as believers should demonstrate that hunger. We should communicate that hunger that we would like to have something not only decent on TV, but something that doesn't dishonor our faith, our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we want faith-based programming to be a way of drawing our families together and even be a witnessing tool. When we communicate that with our dollars at the theaters and with our videos that we choose to watch, realize we're communicating something quite powerful that, you know, the people in Hollywood will respond to. They may not respond to 1,000 letters you send, but they will respond to what mm-hmm. you stop watching and start watching. And so make that your part of your testimony, to put God first in what you watch, what you talk about, what you share. You know, that is powerful. It's interesting. We have a pastor friend who has an interesting demographic among professionals and secular people who are trying to get his program, even though he's very uncompromising, because of the fact that his testimony is strong, but his audience is very diverse. So you don't have to compromise your values as a believer to carry out the gospel. And next week, we will go back and finish what we began last week in the book of 2 Peter, dealing with the topic of false teachers. But this week, we just wanted to pause and celebrate how God has blessed us on this, our 200th anniversary. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Jim, and good night.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, That email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.